Hey, welcome. Remarkable Results Radio, podcast episode 425. Carm Capriotto here with ASA's new executive director, Ray Fisher. We caught up at the AVI Spring Training Program in Fort Myers in early 2019, and we talked professionalism, the fear of the unknown, and our aging workforce. Good stuff here. Here's a taste.
Yeah, that's one of the many opportunities of the networking. You know, the networking is so broad a term, and I don't think we realize all the ways it can be used, whether it's knowledge, whether it's calling somebody for, hey, have you ever encountered this, or what's happening trend-wise up in your areas.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Carm Capriotto here. You know, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Now, join Napa in Las Vegas. I'll be there too, April 6th through 9th, 2020, to discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. Enrollment, it's going on right now. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Hey, I'd love to know what matters to you. Of course, topics, guests, formats, you name it. Write me. Carm at remarkableresults.biz. I love to hear from our very own forever students. And don't forget about the AMI elective credit opportunities by listening to podcasts. Find them on my website on the AMI page. Hey, find the talking points for this episode 425, Ray Fisher's bio, and his previous episodes and more at remarkableresultsradio.com/E425. Now, Ray Fisher, formerly executive director of ASA's Michigan affiliate, has been selected to head the Automotive Service Association as its executive director. Ray started his new job January 2nd, 2019, and he's an accredited automotive manager, AAM, and an accredited master automotive manager, AMAM, from AMI. Ray has an extensive legislative background, having driven issues for ASA Michigan on sales tax issues and shop licensing. I know Ray has the passion and is well-equipped for the challenge. Hey, maybe this is the interview that will influence you enough to join an association. The vast majority of our industry's top operators credit their association membership as a strong influence on their success. Visit asashop.org for more information. Hey, always find time in your life to do what's important. Hey, a warm welcome to Ray Fisher, Executive Director of ASA. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Carm. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Glad to bump into you.
Yes.
Here at AVI in Fort Myers. We're here for a great training weekend, and you stopped by because you were in the area doing some ASA stuff.
Right. I wanted to visit with the ASA Florida members and some of the board members and volunteers. So had an opportunity to do that, and I'm just excited to be also at the AVI conference as well.
Congrats on the new job.
Thank you.
Wow. From ASA Michigan to ASA National. So proud to see that event happen for you. And, you know, we were talking off record here. Man, are you excited about the things you've got planned?
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to it. We've got something we're going to be launching at the annual meeting that I think the industry is going to grab and enjoy. We're making some progress on various initiatives that we haven't been able to focus on in the past. And I'm just excited about the opportunity for our professionals out there.
Ah, cool. I mean, could that be the operative word here of our interview?
Sure.
Professionalism?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, there's a great deal of professionals in our industry that sometimes we don't recognize that, or we realize we're good at what we do, but we don't realize to what effect it has, you know, whether it be safety of the vehicles for the families on the road, you know, in yours, mine, and others, right on up to, you know, just the maintenance of the vehicle and doing the right thing the right time all the time.
When you're out visiting shops, and I know that you're here in Florida, you've of course met some of your chapter, your ASA membership here, mm-hmm. visiting shops. When we talk professionalism, are you seeing enough of it?
That's the sad part, you know, Carm. As far as what I see, obviously my touch points are more of our membership, which are, you know, the higher end of the spectrum.
Yeah, but Ray, it doesn't take anyone who's not been in the industry for a while to walk into a place and get a feel for as if you were a customer.
Right, right. And you can definitely tell those that are catering to their customer clientele or the consumers. And you can tell the other ones that haven't attended things like this conference here, you know, or others across the nation. There's plenty of opportunities. You know, there's a lot of partners out there doing training. It's amazing to me how secluded some of these repair facilities are keeping themselves.
Yeah, secluded. That's an interesting word. Secluded in their own world.
Right.
They don't go out of the box at all.
No.
They're not reading.
No.
They're not listening to podcasts. I mean, my point is that how do we change this?
Well, I think the industry itself is changing so quickly. You know, I always keep referring back to the 80s when we were buying PCs. You know, there was the old saying, if you're buying a PC, it's probably outdated because there's so much technology coming at us so quickly and changing. You know, I bought my first IBM computer and it was a 286, and I'll never forget three months later Windows came out and it was a DOS-based, you know, and that was an expensive computer.
Now I just showed you my brand new very powerful laptop sitting yes. here and I yes. you know, and it's only like 8 months old, but yeah. it's old.
Yeah, exactly. But you're keeping up with the technology. You're trying to.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's no different in our industry right now. There's a lot coming at us, and the biggest fear is the fear of the unknown. And I think that the wise owners out there, the professionals, are looking at things and saying, okay, I can either seclude myself and make an exit strategy, or I stay with it and seek the opportunities that are about to come at us.
Exit strategies, when you don't have a great business, is very disappointing to the seller.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we've talked about that, and I'm not necessarily ready to go there, but, you know, you said one thing, everything's changing so fast, and let's make an assumption that we're talking tech, but I don't think we're talking tech here. Actually, I think we're talking about how to run a better business.
Oh, absolutely. And what's it take now, and what's it going to take into the future? What are the investments? What should I prepare for? Both on the collision and mechanical side of things, which is what the industries we represent. You know, we've got a lot of technology coming at us. Is it something feasible? Can I return on my investment? Because that's what it's going to be. It's an investment in tools. And when we're looking at some of the calibration, which is a hot topic right now, ADAS and calibration, yeah. you know, it's not not necessarily a one shoe fits all anymore. So, you know, we might see some opportunities where we're going to have to specialize a little more if we want to go down that path.
No doubt tech is a challenge for everybody on a daily basis, getting the right training. As you say, ADAS calibration, you know, we've been talking about it. ASA has done a lot to bring awareness to the industry about ASA calibration, and I know you continue to do it. Don't stop.
No, we won't.
And, you know, but I go back to the marketing side and the leadership side, and, you know, and just, you know, building resumes on training for your technicians, for your service writer. There's so much more. Is it possible that the reason that we see the same faces at the same training classes all the time, if it's management or if it's technology, mm-hmm. is there's certain degree of apathy that says I can get by? Obviously, they don't see the value in associations, because if not, you'd have 20,000, 50,000 members, okay?
Right.
And you don't, but I know you're going to fix that. Why is it that people don't want to break out and embrace networking and people and the knowledge that exists in our industry? There's so much free and available knowledge out there, or if not low cost.
Right. And that's one of the things you mentioned, but we were talking a little bit earlier on, is technology and some of the opportunities. So our competitor, or so thought, is YouTube and some of the things you can get online, like you mentioned, for free. However, you know, is it credible? Is what's the validation of all this? And when you look at an association, whether it's ours or others, any professional trade organization that's doing the right thing, they're listening to their members, they're listening to what keeps them up at night, and they're moving forward on seeking the answers to the questions that keep them up at night. And that's one of the things that I believe to have started in the beginning of this year. And that's why I'm kind of doing a little bit of a road trip. You know, last week I was up in Illinois and had a great opportunity with ASA Illinois, one of our affiliates, talked with a board. And
what'd you learn?
I learned that they want to see success. They want to see involvement. They want to see that we're addressing some of the issues, and they want to be heard.
They want to hear it from you. They want success from you. They want to see success. Wow, isn't it that you make your own?
To an extent, but sometimes we have to be given direction a little bit. Later today, I'm heading off to another affiliate, ASA Northwest. See my colleagues up there.
You are flying, what, 3,000 miles today?
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, the plane's going to do it for me. Otherwise, I'd be really tired. But, you know, and it's going to be a great opportunity. But one of the things that we look at, you know, is Dr. Stephen Covey says, seek first, understand, then be understood. And, you know, that's kind of my mission right this minute, is to hear some of the concerns and see what is the theme, shall we say, of moving forward.
I so highly respect what you just said, listening for the pain points, seeking to understand what's going out there. So you're taking your two ears out and you're absorbing, because in your new role, and you've only been the executive director of ASA National for, I'm guessing, 6 months?
No, just a little over 2 months, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. Started January 2nd, technically.
How did I miss that? Okay. Well, here, we're at the end of March. Maybe, you know, all right, okay. I get it.
It seems like 6 months.
But. Yeah. And, you know, to me, a new leader of any organization, that's the role. The role is I don't know what I got until I find out what I got.
Right. And one of the things that I found was we've got a great staff. And you know, I talked about traveling to ASA Northwest, you know, listening and so forth. When you're setting goals, the whole idea is you got to map it, just like the pilot today is going to be mapping already. Well, it's already done, but has a route to take. And that's one of the things is in doing the listening, we listen to what the concerns are, what the opportunities are for us, and we move on them and we start creating that map. Next weekend, the board of directors is flying into Texas and having a strategic planning with us or with me. And I'm looking forward to that. We were talking about it a little bit earlier off the record, but you know, it's a process and it's in depth and it's sometimes painful. But
at the end of it, you should come out a bigger, better, more fluid, more focused organization.
Yes, yes. You know, they've put a lot of work in these past few years. We've weathered some storms. And, you know, to move forward, you've got to do that. I'm excited. There's a great deal of passion in our industry from our members to our affiliates, to our staff, to our board members, to our committee members. They realize they can't do it themselves. They've got the big picture. You know, a little bit earlier today, I talked with Terry down here in Florida and Terry Winters from Terry Winters Auto Centers. Yeah. And, you know, he's talking about his days, what got him started in the association and what Bill Haas and many of the folks at ASA at that time did for him and the success of his business.
Yeah,
and
we
love those success stories. And going forward, we want to maintain and be part of that going forward.
As a side note, I met Terry at an ASA event in Detroit.
Okay.
And I think he may have spoken, and I went up, and there were like 10 people in line, and I had an appointment, and I knew that by the time I got up to, if you will, finally shake the hand of the Godfather, I kind of took his business card real quick, and then I found out, you know, a little after that, he sold his business, and I said, okay, maybe it's a great interview about, you know, selling your business. Well, he was here, and boy, he and I sat down and we spoke for an hour, and he agreed to come on. We're going to do an interview, and he didn't retire,
right?
And you know, he's got more energy than I can ever imagine at 72. Terry, I'm sorry I said that, and I'm so impressed, so, you know, appreciative to ASA for this, some of his success that he's had over the years. Imagine taking the tenacity of an entrepreneur and marrying him with an association membership, you know, and you get involved on a national scale, national level, and the network builds. I mean, that's that person, that business is on fire.
Right, right. Well, there's so many opportunities, you know, when you're volunteering. One of the things you're doing is you're giving up part of your time, you know, but what the return on that time is phenomenal, because you get to talk to a lot of the leaders of different organizations and you have the opportunity to network. And so when you're encountering a situation or a challenge or a struggle, you're not alone. You've got a brotherhood out there. You know, one of the things, I've had family members, and I've got a friend of mine who is a police officer. And I'll tell you what, if you ever listen in their locker rooms, they they have some things to say about each other, but let that officer down needs assistance call come over the radio, all that's forgotten.
Yeah.
And get out of the way because you won't be able to cross the street.
Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a gold-certified auto care center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then, to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified Technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through Napa Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on Napa's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, Napa Trax shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing Napa store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop.
You just said something so interesting that it just popped inside of me. You said giving up time. And when I look at training venues like AVI here and all the other ones that exist in our industry, I wonder, you know, I always say, why aren't there three times as many people here, especially when you think of the, you know, the demographics of where we are here in Southwest Florida, and an association membership, and this whole giving up time thing, it just hit me so hard. Is our business and our family lives so consuming that we cannot figure that I'm going to go to training, send my people to training, because I value my time to the degree that I am a terrible time manager, and so I can't give up to belong? Did we break the code here? And if so, how do we change that? I don't think you can.
Well, you know, I think that it was John Maxwell who says that you can't manage time. Time's a constant, it keeps going. I think it's how we utilize our time and what's important to us. And I think that sometimes we may not prioritize the things that reap benefits. You know, sometimes, you know, when you look at stock market or when you look at savings accounts, you're investing dollars to make more later. And somehow that equation doesn't come over sometimes into our businesses, or we get so wrapped up day-to-day business that we're constantly fighting fires. And we don't take the time out to realize if we just took a half a day here or a day there or an evening here or there and got just a little bit involved, it would help tremendously save time in the long run. It's an investment into the future.
That's a great point. I mean, that's a great point. Invest in your future. You're putting money in the stock market today because you want it to grow. I think every one of us suffers from time management, and maybe that's how, maybe we teach time management and then we insert the networking piece in it and you know, open up time
right,
so that we can learn to be better leaders, better managers, and find that, you said brotherhood, sisterhood earlier.
Right.
And to me, talking to Gary Keyes before, I mean, you know, Gary Keyes drops names from people all over the country.
Oh, absolutely.
And he knows them all well.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he just, I knew him, I shook their hand one day. He knows them.
Chances are they're on his phone.
Yes, they are. Right. And the really cool thing about Terry is that he knows he could pick up the phone and say to whoever, you know, Diane Larson up in Massachusetts. Diane, this ever happened to you?
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't have to go on a Facebook forum to do that. You just pick up the phone, you call a friend.
Right.
You dial a friend.
Right.
Because you have a pain point.
Well, you know, and one of the values that we have is, as the association is that network across the United States, like you mentioned. We have the shop locator on our website. And, you know, one of the things that, coming from what you just mentioned, Carm, is I was talking with Terry yesterday, and we were talking about one of the benefits that, you know, we've got a lot of snowbirds, for example, from my native state of Michigan that come down here to Florida during the winter months and whatnot. And what an opportunity, whether it's en route to or when they're down here, they've still got to get their car maintained or fixed or whatever. Hopefully it's not until they get down here, but if they break down on the roadway, one of the opportunities is the peace of mind for the facility they're familiar with in Michigan, that they can say, okay, I know that this member here is part of ASA and they know the respective structure of them as far as professionalism to a degree. And what an opportunity to know they can hand off that customer of theirs to someone locally and know they're in good hands. And Terry said, I've used that myself, you know, even though I'm down here in Florida, I've used that myself for some of my customers. And he says, yeah, that's one of the many opportunities of the networking. You know, the networking is so broad a term, and I don't think we realize all the ways it can be used, whether it's knowledge, whether it's calling somebody for, hey, have you ever encountered this, or what's happening trend-wise up in your areas, you know, things of that nature.
Or just to say hello. And, you know, you frankly don't, you never know. There's always serendipitous moments when you just say, hey, how you doing? It's Gary. Hey, Gary, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And by the time you're done with a 15-minute phone call,
right,
the idea lights go on.
Right.
And there's where that you know, I didn't pay for this. Yeah, I'm in the membership and all that stuff. But and I met somebody at a conference. But you've got to use that.
Right.
My point is don't join if you're not going to get involved.
Absolutely.
Is that too broad of a statement?
Well, you know, a good friend of mine, Jeff Handler, from the Collision side. You know, Jeff runs the CIC conference. I'll never forget Jeff. A long time ago, at a meeting, said, "You know, he's a very good golfer. He's PGA certified golfer, and if I recall, and he was talking one time. He says, you know, being a part of an association, he says it's like being a member of a country club. He says the country club provides me the opportunity to golf. It gives me the opportunity to golf, but I will not become a better golfer if I don't use that opportunity and get involved. So, you know, and just like golf, whether you're a boxer, tennis player, or any sports or whatever it is, even business, if you don't practice, you don't get better.
That's a great analogy.
Oh, it is.
Wow, that's powerful. I mean, the episode's over with. I mean, I've got my big talking point right here. Wow, how cool is that? So you're out visiting groups, which is such a smart thing, you know, in the first 2.5 months here. Pain points, you mentioned that word earlier.
The one thing we're hearing is communication, which we have already turned on a lot better.
Okay.
We're getting better at it. But, you know, there's email fatigue. The opportunity to be able to call all the time is not something we can do. But we're looking at different mediums and different opportunities. And you know, we've done some Facebook Live. We understand that not everybody's into Facebook. So we're looking at different mediums and opportunities to reach out to our members. We're finding that we have to do things timely. So we started a digital magazine, Auto Inc. We took it from a paper form,
mm-hmm.
and so that's online, you know, as of the first of the year. And the opportunity there is that we can keep it updated, you know, going back in the days of print, you had deadlines. Again, going back to my comment about computers in the 80s, you know, right now with our vehicles and the technology that's hitting us right now, you got to be able to deliver that today. You know, that's got to be put online today, not, you know, hitting a deadline, so it's printed for April, mid-April launch, right?
Yeah.
And we've got Bob Redding, you know, our legislative lobbyist in Washington, D.C., that keeps a watchful eye on things, and he's right there in the heart of watching all the things to make sure the door stays open.
Frankly, Bob would be the smartest investment anyone could make in ASA.
Right.
Because we were at breakfast this morning.
Yes.
Remember the future talk we had?
Yes.
It's all the more reason to have Bob Redding on the
absolutely.
Payroll.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
You know, we want to make sure the doors stay open, but we want to make sure that they're open to professionals, you know.
Yeah.
there's going to, we believe you have to have credentials to work on a vehicle. Prove to me that you're worthy. I often talk in some of the roundtables I've done over the years, and even just recently here in Texas, or not here, but at our Texas chapter here about a month ago, I was with those folks at ASA Texas. And, you know, I compare it to the medical field. You know, we've got technicians that I think sometimes we underappreciate. That to me, you know, a doctor has to have a certain certification to be able to practice medicine. And we've got technicians out there that could possibly have a great deal of influence on how safe somebody is and how the car functions. And, you know, even if the car, quote, just breaks down on the side of the road, that still puts somebody in danger. You know, we sometimes forget about, we think that safety is always about crashing or safety devices like airbags and things like that. But just having someone broken down on the side of the road is a huge exposure of risk, because distracted driving is the number one thing right now. We're seeing fatalities increase much, going the opposite way. I mentioned in one of my discussions that in 2011, we'd gotten down to about 29,000 fatalities a year. Now we're up around 35,000.
Yeah.
You know, all because of distracted driving. So anytime that vehicle's not functioning properly, it puts people at risk.
You think about how much work everyone's putting into the autonomous car when there's only 35,000 deaths. Believe you me, I'm not making light of that.
No.
It's serious stuff. And because we can make computers drive the cars and bring down that fatality rate, which is a good thing, we're investing an awful lot of money. Yeah, versus so many other issues on the medical side that are, you know, wrong with us, be it, you know, cancer and the like, and heart. And I find that fascinating. And it's all about tech. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the aggressive, very intelligent, very smart companies that can build these quote unquote computer robots and all the things that are going to, you know, make our world is changing. It's just such an unbelievable world we're going to be in. I hope I live long enough to see, you know, autonomy really, really happen at a high degree, because I'm fascinated with technology.
Sure.
Will I own one? I don't know.
Right.
You know, the older I think we all get, the more we say, why do I need two cars?
Exactly.
How about if I have none? And I just plan my ride share with the autonomous car, and it comes and gets. I mean, I know we're talking Jetson stuff here, but it's close.
It's very close.
I know.
It's very close. And you look at the various technologies that are out there already with the assisted driving. That's the first step. And just like when we saw different things happen in the 80s, the early 80s, where fuel injection was coming in, and it was a challenge. Or when we're talking about unibodies on the collision side, it was a challenge because our knowledge base was way before, and we were all concerned, oh, it's going to put us out of business. Well, as we see, it hasn't. In fact, what it's done is opened the doors, and what a tremendous opportunity for us if we just stay on top of it.
We have survived every new piece of technology that's ever come out, and I have to say, as aggressive and unique that autonomous driving will be, we're going to survive it, and we're going to change our business models, no doubt.
Sure.
You know, we were talking at breakfast, you know, that 24-hour shop where the car, you know, opens your garage, it drives out, it gets its stuff done. The computers check all the sensors that are right, and somehow it gets certified that the car continues to be safe on the road.
Right.
Oh, my God, there's a subject. How does that happen? What's that about? Who's in charge of that?
Right.
You know, there's no doubt that Department of Transportation, NHTSA, the governments, the insurance companies, there's going to be this huge involvement. So Bob Redding, think about the feelers Bob has in the legislature in Washington to help figure this out for us.
Well, you know, and I, as you know, Carm, I've done some legislative work myself, and I'll tell you, you're only as good as the people behind you. And bless Bob's heart, he works hard for us and does a great job. But you know, we've got a team behind him, even when it comes to our mechanical ops committee or collision ops committee. And even some of the volunteers throughout the nation, you know, that he can reach out to and gets, what do you think on this, you know? And the power of this is being at the table and have that discussion. So whether it's regulation or laws or just common discussion amongst the OEs in the aftermarket, Bob's a facilitator to a great degree of that opportunity. And, you know, what we have to understand as an industry is you've got to be at the table. And you have to go with an unbiased opinion, that you're not in one corner or the other, that you listen to both sides and say, okay, how does that service the needs of my industry professionals, both in the collision and mechanical atmospheres, you know, as far as repair facilities are concerned? How do I represent them best?
We've had Bob on the show a couple of times, and I have to tell you, he is no doubt, Ray, I'm excited for you. If anyone's listening to this interview and they're saying, hey, here's our new ASA leader, you've got to be pretty damn impressed. Articulate, smart, and your background is great because of all the things you've done. And it's great to have you here. And so if you think about Ray Fisher, you think about Bob Redding, that's all the reason they have an ASA membership. You don't need anything more. Everything else is a bonus, right?
Well,
everything else is a bonus.
I think Bob would say the same thing. Somebody's taught us along the way. Somebody's mentored us along the way, and we've networked. At first I was in that secluded world, and once my door was opened a little bit, it was endless and infinite.
So. You got a great team. I don't mean to make light of anyone else you have there and Tony and everybody there, but my point is, you know, and I'm so glad we were able to do this because, you know, to me, it's like, changing of the guard. So tell me about the new guard. And it's just great to hear you in the things you're saying. One more thing about pain points. You know, you're out visiting some chapters. But after, you know, the ASA thing and you say, hey, so how's business? What are you hearing the guys struggling with?
You know, I think it's just a matter of overall preparing. You know, we've got an aging workforce, so when you look at our annual meeting, for example, that we put together, we really wanted to make it an annual business meeting, not just an annual meeting, an annual business meeting. And, I was grateful to be able to participate and listen to Sarah Fraser, talking about Gen Z and millennials, not just on the workforce side of things, but also on the way they look at things, how they look at business.
The customer's perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took some talking points away, and all she did yesterday for me was reaffirm that it was a good decision to have her come, and I'm just grateful that she said yes. And so she's coming to the annual business meeting. That's a perfect opportunity for our industry to see some great stuff, be open-minded, and prepare for the future. I think that, you know, we've got a stereotype that these generations are lazy and don't care, and that's far from the truth. They just think differently, and they've been given different opportunities growing up. And that was the message that was loud and clear yesterday, and I'm not going to steal any more thunder from her class. So,
well, she's been kind enough to come on the show, so we have a Gen Z episode with Sarah Fraser out there.
Look at it after our annual meeting, though.
Yeah, I know. Please, yeah, don't listen to anyone. I won't even look up the number to find out what number it is. Well, Ray, hey, thanks for fitting me into your busy schedule. I know you're getting on a plane in a little bit.
Thank you for the opportunity. It was great.
It was great. I wish you so much success, and really, I believe, you know, that strategic planning idea that you guys are ready to pull together to, what is it, to possibly reinvent the value of associations to the industry?
It's to make sure that we don't take it easy and rest, you know, that we keep looking forward. We're asking our industry to do this very same thing. We also need to walk the talk. So I'm very happy the volunteers dedicated their time and made it happen. So
Ray Fisher, Executive Director, ASA National. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.